Good morning. Stand to your feet. You know where we're going with this. This is the way it's going to be. And you're going to have to wonder every week, do I do it in the front? Do I do it in the middle? Do we close with it? Or do I call you on the phone Sunday night and ask if you know how to say it? You know, one of your fellow Christians right now here said, you ought to ask somebody to stand up if they can say it without looking at it. Well, I'm going to let you look at it. Put it up there. Let's make it together. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
Be seated in Jesus' name. First Sunday of a brand new month. Can you believe it? Here we are. Here we are. The year is already 1/12 over. How's that for? I have a way of encouraging you, don't I? Today I want to talk to you about choices. Life is full of them. Life is full of them. Life is a never-ending series of choices, and it can be a challenge at times. You may not realize, I've heard people say, I've seen young people, well, when I get older, I'm not going to make all those decisions. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? There's choices forever in every part of your life. I heard some lady the other day said, you know what they need to put on in the wedding vows? So when you're standing up and looking at him, And you're looking back and forth, and this needs to be added. And I do understand from this time off for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to try to decide what you want to eat every night for the rest of your life right now. Do you know that? Probably that would probably be really important in the vows right there. I've got to decide what you're going to eat for the rest of your life. Do you understand that? It can be a challenge. Things can be a challenge. Jobs can be a challenge. This job is a challenge. Oh, golly. My Lord, if I told you some stories, you just wouldn't believe them. You wouldn't believe them. You wouldn't believe them. And you know, there was a few years ago, there was something I was dealing with. And somebody said, when they were asking, they said, you know, it's a wonder you still love God. I said, God's the only answer. God's the only place to go. God is the only place to go. When David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. But in a job situation, jobs are hard. Jobs are difficult. Some of you, whether you own your own job or whether you work for someone, I don't care. It's always a challenge. There's always something. It's difficult. And you laugh about the marriage situation because that's a challenge every day. That is a challenge all the time. Somebody said it this way, you need to find a partner that has matching values. That's really the main thing that you need to look at, right? Somebody said it this way, guys, you need to know, if a woman says, do what you want, do not do what you want. Stand still, don't blink, do not answer, do not breathe, just play dead. At different points in our lives, we have to make some choices and decisions. Do what you want, don't always believe it right now. But it's part of our natural and our spirit, in our experience. And I find out at different levels in my life, my choices and my challenges are different. There are things now that you're looking at and you're chewing. You're not buying the cutest shoe anymore. What shoe are you buying right now? You're buying the fun shoe, but it's more comfortable first, right? You're figuring out those kind of things. How many of you know, I heard somebody say one time, the things my parents used to punish me for, you know what they are. Go to bed early, you can't go out, and on the weekend you can't go to a party. Those are the things I want right now in my life, they said. I want to stay home. Somebody said, here's how you know you're being an adult. How much time do you debate with yourself on the keeping of a cardboard box because it's really, really a good box? It's a real good box. You never know. We have stacks of what? Good boxes. She's got a stack of those gift bags. Anybody got any of those? Those gift bags. And there's a bag of the bags right there. Don't throw those away. When's that from? Well, that's when Tyler was born. Oh, come on now. But that's a good cardboard box. We really might need it. Now you're making healthy choices for your dining. Or you should be making healthy choices for your dining. All kind of choices, challenges. It never, never stops. So how can we know in our life whether we are making the right choices in our lives? I'm not talking about the box or even what to eat, but the direction of our life. Some people wake up every morning and they, or it pops up on their phone, and they read something that some mystic wrote, and it is so personal. It is so personal, it's for 1/12 of the population that month. How's that for being personal? 1/12 of the population. But that's your word. Some people live like that. On our radio show the other night, we were listening. It wasn't on our show. It was another thing. I was listening on the side. And somebody pops on and says, you need directions. You need to get a good psychic. You need to call the best psychics, the California psychics. Now, let me tell you what. Of all the people on the planet who do not know what time it is, they're from that side over there, from that state. Call a California. If I bought a radio spot on there and says, hey, I got a good word for you right now, you need to go to the Word of God this morning. They'd somebody say, hey, get that off there. But they will put divination on there. And somebody with a warm voice, and it's cute, it's a hot little cute little commercial there, you're just going to buy that and believe it. Let's call the psychic hotline. But let me give you a wise answer. Instead of looking to the stars, why shouldn't we be looking at the maker of the stars? You've heard to each his own. You've heard, well, just whatever. Follow your heart. That's a popular one right now. Just as long as you are kind. That's a big one right now. As long as you are kind. Just follow your heart. Follow your heart. You know, do you know what God said to Jeremiah about our wonderful hearts? Jeremiah 17, here's what God said. The heart is deceptive. The heart is wicked. That's what it says. Now, the next word I'm going to read, I read more to it, but I'm just going to take one line out of it, and I read it about 3 times over the last 1 month right now, talking about our heart. There's a way that would seem right to a man, but its end is the way of what? Death. The New Living says there's a path before each person that seems right. So a decision must be made. The Message Bible says there is a way of life that looks harmless enough, but look again, it leads straight to hell. That's not user-friendly. They wouldn't let me read that on the radio. Just whatever, as long as you're thinking these thoughts, as long as you're kind, as long the God within you, the God within you will lie. That if you follow that God of your heart and your flesh, you won't get the truth. And when you start hearing things that don't sound like God, it doesn't take a call to a California kook to tell you what's going on right now. There's a way that seemeth right. I had the opportunity on a couple occasions to serve in a service with the great Miles Monroe. If you've never heard Miles Monroe preach, look him up on YouTube. He was quite a giant of the word. Miles made a statement in a meeting one time. He said, all ramps will take you somewhere. Okay, on the interstate, every ramp will take you somewhere. But only one ramp will take you where you need to go. Think about that. Every ramp you pass, every exit on the highway, it will take you somewhere. Well, just whatever you think. Just whatever you think, whatever you feel in your heart, find it in your heart. Find it in, you know, N.T. Wright said, when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, now get in your little groups and talk about your heart and talk about your feelings. No, he said, pray and pray this way. All ramps. Now, this is a very important thing when you get this, because you get this mindset today. Just as long as you believe, he's a really good believer. No, what's his ramp? Life is full of challenge and choices, but all challenge and all choices are not equal. So in every challenge and choice, whether it's just as simple as getting up in the morning, we need God's wisdom. Jesus, help me today. I told you while I was walking around, I found myself going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I had 5 or 10 things that I was saying Jesus about. But I got to tell you, it was a blessed time. It was a special time. We read back in our history the choices that were made, that had to be made. If you follow the D-Day story, you go see that great museum downtown, how that even the invasion that day, it had to be at one spot only, one day because of weather, because of other things. It could only be at one spot or the whole thing would have been lost. I remember as a little kid reading and seeing those stories of the Alamo. I remember going there as a little kid, like 6 years old, and going, oh my goodness. But you remember those stories. And here they are, they're fighting for something, and it just scares you as a little kid as you hear that. But you understand there was a point in time where the man who was leading Colonel Travis, he drew a line and said, what you going to do? And how they bravely stepped over and bought the time for Sam Houston to get his army together. What a story. It was about a choice. But not all choices are line in the sand moments. But at every turn, every day, we need wisdom. Jensen Franklin says it this way. If you want the wisdom of God, get into the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I got to work on me sometimes that it's easy for me to go in my wisdom. It's easy for me to fly off in my wisdom. And I deal with that at times. And we all do. And that, you know what, that's God reminding you, hey, you still need me. You want to do it yourself for a while? It doesn't turn out well. And this walk, you understand when I'm using the term, this walk, you understand that? This walk is a lifetime process, and it is a lifetime commitment. Got it? It is a lifelong process and a lifelong commitment. What is it? That's with your worship. That's with your reading the word. That's with you really over and over. And you'll get to it. Some days you'll knock it out the park. Somebody said to me a few months ago, how are you? I said, well, it depends on what day you ask me. I said, some days I'm fabulous. Another day I'm struggling. I'm just doing good to get here. And we all are, because we need his touch more than ever right now. A series of daily choices. One writer said it this way. Conversion, that's when we pray the prayer. Conversion happens in an instant, okay? We understand that. But the process of discipleship in the way of living out our doctrine is the work of a lifetime. I've had people give me all kind of holy words and things like that, and things are a mess. And I'm looking at them, I said, oh, please, Lord, where's the door? Where's the door? They'll give you the word. But living out the doctrine of the word is the work of a lifetime. That's why we went back looking at foundations. That's why we went back looking at those things for the past 4 weeks, because things are coming, and I've apologized every week because I didn't give you a happy word for the last Sunday of the year. A few years ago, I talked to you about the etymology. I won't do it today. Of the little song we sang at camp, or we sang it at youth meeting, or we sang it in Sunday school, where you all said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, we sang it as teenagers. I have decided, little kids, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. Oh, we felt good. We meant it. We cried. We called home on the last night at camp. Remember that? Everybody got saved on the last night of camp every year again. We all got saved again. And we'd line up at the payphone because there were no other phones. And we'd calling home, everybody crying. I'm so sorry, I'm an idiot, you know, and forgive me. And we meant every word of it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. But the etymology of that is really tells us that there is a better choice than the choice we make with our own flesh and our own heart. It's a challenge, but it's a daily choice. Little did we know that when we were kids singing that song, or as a new Christian, we were singing that song, that we might be challenged on every phrase of it at different points of our lives. Let me tell you what hasn't changed. The truth of that song and the truth of our Savior today. How many of you want to make the best choice in your life? The good choice, the right choice that is founded on the Word. Remember, it is a lifetime of living out our doctrine. Luke 10 tells a wonderful story. I love this one. It said, now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Linda's done a couple of really wonderful messages on Mary and Martha over the years, and you could wake her up in the middle of the night and ask her about Mary and Martha, and she'll just talk 15 minutes right there. Maybe I can get her to do it again. But notice what happened, the two sisters. Where was Mary? Where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus, listening to the word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. As I told you last week, when Jesus showed up, it wasn't just Jesus. There was at least 12 more of them. She was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, don't you even care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, help me. In other words, I'm the only. I don't know about you, but I've gotten in a few times where I said, Lord, I'm your last guy here. We all feel that way. I'm the last one here. Lord, I'm in a family. I'm the last one in this family. The last one in this situation. I'm the last one. It feels like we're just, here we are, a chosen few this morning. Lord, listen to us. Don't you care? Therefore, you need to tell her to help me. Jesus looked at her. Don't see this in a corrective, mean mode. I see it in the warmest, loving face with eyes that sparkled. He was well acquainted with them and knew that family well. And he said, Martha, Martha. By the way, when you see the use of the two names there, it is the increasing of affection. Does that make sense? It is the increasing of affection. And he could have said, knock it off, girl. No, Martha, Martha. The first one let her know, I want your attention. I know who you are. The second one is, look at me, I love you. Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about many things. He didn't even say that they were bad things, but he was dealing with the teaching, the concept of the priorities of the right things in our hearts and lives. And here's what he said, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that what part? That good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has what? Chosen. Our world has been enamored with a wonderful, wonderful entertainment rendition of the gospel, simply called The Chosen. It's a big word. There's a lot that wraps around that. They were chosen. Jesus was chosen. We were chosen. There's so much. But it said, she has chosen the good part. In talking about choices today, here's what I know from this passage. Number one, we know that there is a better choice. We know that there is a right choice. A lot of times people get busy doing the church things and the God things, but their life is, there's a breakdown there. And we all struggle and we have to work with that. Lord, I'm doing all this work for you. We've had that conversation a few times. God, I've been doing this. I've been doing this a long time, God. I'm doing this for you. And that's really when you don't hear his voice. He just kind of lets you go, okay, keep talking. Keep talking. But we know this, there is a right choice, not just a good choice, but even in something as simple as serving in your home and walking your life out, there's a God choice. Let's talk about a God choice. Today, this message, I stepped off the bus today to encourage you. To encourage you. Most of you have made, as in the initial movement toward God, you have made the good choice. You have prayed that prayer. You might have even sung that little song I sang a few minutes ago. I honor you for that. I bless you today. Heaven rejoices when you do that. And you've said, I will follow you. I thank you today. I honor you. I bless you. I have nothing but good words to give you this morning to strengthen you today. Some of you have struggles in your life. Some of you have situations that are you just don't know what to do about. And you say, God, help me. God, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. We're all that way. That was part of my Jesus word walking around the house a few days ago. Lord, give us direction in this thing that we need to do. And sometimes it is, in fact, most times it is a challenge to make the best choice. But let me just kind of tell you something. There is a reward for the good choice. There is a reward for the good choice. Some of you that have lived for God for more than a couple of years, I think you've probably experienced that right now. There might have been some difficult paths and we've all walked through. But we look on the other side of it and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. There's a reward for making the right choice, the good choice, if you will. But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes things are rough when we make a decision because it's like a line being drawn. And sometimes you even feel all alone because of that. I'm here to remind you that when you're standing and you've made a choice, and when you think you're feeling alone, I'm here to remind you in my loving encouragement to you to tell you this, you are not alone. I'm going to work on a message coming down pretty soon because the last thing you hear from him when he's headed up in the clouds, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the earth. You're never alone. See, a gathering like this adds to that concept. We need the gathering like this. You're not going to get it watching it on TV. You're not going to get it watching it on YouTube. You're not. Is it a perfect environment? No, it's not. But you, one of the things you find out when you are alone somewhere, you think, I'm the only one. We had a story of a prophet that was going through a very difficult time in his life, and he thought he was the only one. He was going through a major depression, and he was going through, Lord, I'm the only guy you have. But I'm here to remind you, you're never alone. Gatherings like this will encourage our lives. And do you realize that if I read this word right, that when you make that right move and that right choice, even in your daily walk, heaven's cheering your walk. The word tells us the saints that have gone on are cheering us on. Cheering us on. Those ones that are gathering for us. Heaven rejoices. By the way, have you ever heard this too? Well, there's two sides to every story. Well, as far as the things of God, don't you believe it? As far as the things of God, there are not two sides to every story. One leader didn't fare too well here. Actually, there was an embodiment of some of the writings and Proverbs of Solomon. But it's a story we read about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I'm gonna punch it back and forth, but you know where I'm going with it. In Exodus chapter 32, it said, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain. By the way, so they gathered Aaron. Come on, make us some gods who can lead us. Now, talk about that brilliance right there. Make us some gods. Make us some gods. They got anxious. They got anxious, as they say, they got out over their skis, and they figure we don't see God's man, so we better make God happen for ourselves. And when man, what did Jeremiah say about the heart of a man? It's wicked and deceitful. He cooks up some of the craziest things. That silly thinking came from their hearts. And when the flesh starts taking over in the area of choice, you say some crazy things. Look at this. Now, by the way, who was Moses? He was their deliverer. He was the one that brought them out. He was the one who put his neck on the line. Was he perfect? No. But he was the one that got this thing going. He was the one they followed. He was the one that said what God said, let my people. He was the one. Now, here they are, the shoe's pinching a little bit. They want to stir up something. They're getting a little antsy. And all of a sudden, they act like they don't know who Moses is. This is nuts. Watch this. And as far as this Moses, the man, that is a separation there. Doing like that. This man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. Now, he'd been gone a bit, but he was in the presence of God. Well, the story goes on to say that Aaron said, okay, take off all your gold, do all of that. And he brought it all together. He took the gold, he melted it down. He molded it in the shape of a calf. Now, I understand some of the symbolism of the calf and light, things like that. But I got to tell you, if I'm going to worship a god, I need a lion. I don't want a calf up there. First off, I'm going, hey, you're really off the hook here. And they started making this thing. And when the people saw it, it actually says, they looked up and they exclaimed, Israel, these are the gods who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This is a willful blindness, a willful ignoring, a willful of drawing on their own hearts because they thought God, there was no God there. They went against everything. They had a word up here, but no word in here. I'm going to say, I've got a line about that next week because I'm working on two things at once. So Aaron sees how excited they are. So he builds an altar on top of it. Oh, they're patting him on the back. The band's back together. I mean, we're having a good time there. You know the story. And they got excited. And one translation says, and they begin to indulge in pagan revelry. Well, while this is going on, and Moses has lost track of time because he's in the presence of God, God goes, hey, Moses, probably smacked him on the head a little bit. He says, you need to know something. You need to quick go down there. And I always thought it was kind of cute. This is verse 7. You want to look a little bit later. Or it's either 7 or 6. Yeah, 7. And he says to him, he says, your people whom you brought out of Egypt. That's in the Bible. God says, your people. Your people. Your people. Now, God had sent Moses to say, let my people go. But God was on his last nerve with his people. Go down there and take a look at what's going on. Quick, go see what's going on. They melted down more gold. They made the calf. They bowed down and sacrificed it. God told him. He said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Read with me in verse 9 now. Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. And God's ticked off. So now just leave me alone. God, this is what God did. Watch. Leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them. And I'm going to destroy those suckers right now. And then I'm going to make you, Moses, you're up here, you're with me. I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, it's going back. This is like, I read this story probably once or twice a year. Because there's so much humanity that smells in it. You know what I mean? And here's God, and he's at the feet of Jesus doing the good thing. He's listening to the Father God. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. Lord, why are you so angry? Now, it's the funniest, and we did it in depth, you know, a couple years ago, but to look at it again. He said, Lord, why are you so angry with your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand? God, I just want to remind you how great and how spectacular and how magnificent you were when you led them out. How you did that. And then he starts kind of trying to appeal to God. So you're going to let the Egyptians say their God rescued them from the evil invention of the slaughtering of them, intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth. Turn away from your fierce anger, God. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. And then he says, remember your servants. Remember the covenant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You bound yourself to them with the oath. Where you said, I will make descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. I will give them all of this land that I've promised to your descendants. You'll possess it forever. Now, probably one of the most beautiful, there are a few instances in the scripture when this next thing happened, but I'm always moved when I read it. It said, so the Lord changed his mind. Imagine. If you have any kid, you've said, no, I don't think we're going to do this, but they keep, would you change your mind? And something happens and you go, all right, okay. Okay. The Lord changed his mind about what he was ready to go on. So Moses goes down the mountain, all right? And he goes down, and he's got the tablets under both arms there. And he's looking at what's going on. And so Joshua is like halfway there, and he's waiting for him at the halfway spot. And he said, you know, it sounds like war down in the camp. And Moses, and it was a sarcastic derision. He said, it's not the shout of victory, nor the wailing of defeat. He said, I'm hearing a sound of celebration. But he is saying it with sarcasm there. And they got near. And it was at this point where he slammed the tablets down to the ground. In fact, we don't spend enough time about this one spot here. And he took it and he said, they took the tablets and they ground them up into powder. And they put it in the water and he made all the people to drink that thing. I'm going to give you something to cry about. So human nature, you're going to see human nature when a man does not make the right choice, the good choice. So here's Aaron. Aaron pops up. And he said, why have you let these people do this terrible thing? In verse 22, he said, Lord, don't get upset. Again, he's justifying his decision by trying to bring you into it. People will try to do this. This is a technique that has not changed. He said, and you yourself know how evil these people are. He was justifying his actions. You can read it later. It's in verse 12. They said to me, make us a God that will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us out here. So I told them, this is verse 24. So I told them, whoever has gold jewelry, take it off. And they brought it to me. They had a boatload of gold jewelry because that was their back wages they took from Egypt when they left. They brought it to me. Now watch this. Watch this thing, trying to explain this to God. And I simply threw it into the fire. I simply threw it into the fire. Have you ever tried to talk to God that way? I just happened to be there. I simply threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. It all started because Aaron did not want to make the right choice, the good choice, the hard choice. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, much to the amusement of the enemies. By the way, this too, if you get out in left field, the enemies of God will have a field day. Where's their God now? I thought they were saved. And there's a little extra there as you see it, and they're making derision of them. So he stood at the entrance of the camp, and here's what he said. All of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me. Line in the sand, isn't it? It's time for a choice. It's a challenge, but it's time for a choice. And notice this next thing, and it said, and all the Levites gathered around him. Now stop. The Levites, hang on. The Levites were the worshipers. They were the one who led in praise and in worship, and they knew the power of that. And it said the Levites gathered all around right there. It was a choosing day. And the ones who had an ongoing relationship in their praise, in their worship, in their singing, in their consecration unto God, you were sounding like Levites today, lifting your hearts. And the word says they made a decision. Now watch this. Remember the statement where what Jesus told Martha and Mary? Watch Moses, verse 27. He said, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Each of you take your swords and go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Kill everyone, even your brothers, friends, and neighbors. Boy, this is heavy-duty stuff. The Levites obeyed the command of Moses, and about 3,000 people died that day. So one thing we learn from here, with God, there are no two sides of the story. You know what Aaron said? They came to me, these people. He even tried to blame it on Moses. And in our life and in our choices, there's only one choice, what the word of the Lord says. God doesn't choose these sides. Malachi said it this way in his wonderful book. He said, for I'm the Lord God, and I change not. God didn't change from that law that he had up under his arm about a graven image, right? He was getting ready to teach them on that. And that's the one thing they did. They had another God before them. But let me just say something to you right now and to me. I told you I'd encourage you. Maybe in the course of your life, not maybe, we've all made some real dumb choices. We all have. Choices where we're putting on a good face right now, but if they put them up on the screen up there, we'd run out with our head down. But aren't you glad the Lord God doesn't do that and require that of us? We've made some hard choices, but at times we've made choices that, based even on how we've messed up, Aaron messed up. He had to repent real quick. Well, what am I doing here? I wasn't raised doing this, but there's something in me that draws, because God's doing something and he's getting us ready for what's coming up ahead right now, and his strong people will survive the worst thing that comes our way. I read this in a devotion the other day. You will never regret the time you have spent working on your faith. You will never regret the time you spent working on your faith. Israel chose the wrong side and they suffered the consequences. But it all started with a challenge and a choice at each level. They decided to make a choice that was not God's choice. They decided. They took up a challenge and tried to solve it in their flesh. It all started with a challenge, and then finally it ended with a challenge, and it ended with a choice in verse 32, where he said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, get over here." Got a question for you. What side are you on today? I'm on the Lord's side. They heard the challenge, and as they stepped over that line, you know what I could say about it if I read it all quite right? They made the good choice. They made the God choice. They made the God choice. Boy, did it cost them? It cost them a lot. It cost families even. But what was the outcome? It was a great harvest of blessing. And as I told you before, the great end result of making the God choice, the right choice, is the harvest of blessing. I want to encourage you today, right now. Maybe you feel like you're alone. Maybe you're struggling on some things. The old hymnologist said, Jesus knows all about your struggles. What joy, what blessing, what benefits by making the good choice. Not just the walk down the aisle, not just the prayer, but the daily, Monday through Friday, the devotion, the time that is spent as we grow in our faith. Remember a few years ago going through something really hard, and somebody came to me, why do you still do this? Why do you still do this? And God spoke to me. Oh, by the way, you want to know when God speaks to you? When it's smarter than you. Got it? And I've not heard lightning. I've not heard thunder, but I've seen some unusual things. I've heard some strong inside of me impressions. There one or two times I've actually felt a nudge. I've actually felt a body nudge on two occasions. And you can't tell me it didn't happen. But I don't live my life waiting for the nudge. See, a lot of people are waiting for that. But he's expecting us to go on. And he said, I said, you know what? I still believe in this. I still believe in the power of our worship. I still believe in the power of even gathering like this. I still believe in the music. I still believe in that. I believe in you guys. Man, we walk through all kinds of things, but I believe that God has each one of us in his hands. Back to our story. Later on, as they go on, we've gone through the five books of Moses. You know that story, how it ends. And Moses, because he made a wrong choice, is going to be forced to stand there and look over the fence as they walk into the new land. What was that? He was challenged with something, and he made the wrong choice. So that tells me, even one as stayed and as used, you can still, don't get to the point thinking you can't make the wrong choice. Remind yourself of that. But I think boldly he used that image and that visual, because he was there when all of this happened. And here he was in the big chair now, and he's leading them. And there came a point in time where he's having trouble with the children of Israel because they still were making the wrong choices. And he said this in Joshua 24, verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose. You choose. You're making a decision. You choose this day, today. Who are you going to serve? You remember that conversation that Moses is having with God? God, if you don't take it, do you want them to make fun of you? Do you want these other people? He brought them out there to kill them. God, this is not going to look good for you. You know, and it was that kind of back and forth going on there. He stands up and he said, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates back over there? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? And they're getting ready to wipe you out. But I just want you to know, but as for me and my family, the King James word we've quoted for years, as for me and what? My house. We will serve the Lord. Where does the challenge and the choice, what is the first step of engaging any challenging choice? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even in the rough moments, remember you're not standing alone. I told you that story the time Elijah, he's in a full-fledged depression, y'all. He is in depression, he's in fear. He's depleted on so many levels. He's being chased. They're coming after. They're trying to kill him. And he gets to the point where he's just overwhelmed. And God, I'm the only one you got serving me. And all of a sudden, God says, I just need to know. You need to know something, son. There's at least 7,000 who've not bowed to Baal, and you haven't even met them yet. I'll be with you. I think one thing about Jesus and the story of Jesus being in flesh, we can't tell him anything that he doesn't understand. But I want to talk to you about the greatest choice ever made. And that was the good choice, the right choice. Not you, but when Jesus chose you. When Jesus chose you. When Jesus chose me. Imagine that. Imagine that. His first choice was me. His first choice was you. He made the choice and he gave the example. John quoted him in John 15 that said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go, now watch this, to go and produce lasting fruit. Why? So that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name or using my name. So today I speak love. I speak blessing. I speak encouragement to you. Lift your heads. Come on, just physically. Just kind of lift up a little bit. Lift your heads. Be encouraged. Keep making kingdom choices. When? Today? Tomorrow? Until he comes. Because I still believe this right now. I think probably by the end of the afternoon or early evening, you'll be able to go on the website or you can go to that Podbean. And I think you might want to listen to some of these scriptures and maybe read the whole story. I've only cherry-picked the story to move it a little quicker for you. But read it in a couple translations over the next week and look at the story. And you realize it's all about choices. And we will do this and live this until he comes, today, tomorrow, the next day. It's the ongoing choices and decisions.